You mothers and daughters, that was wonderful. Singing the scriptures, that was one of the things that we talked about this last week, is singing the psalms. But this, of course, is from Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Great, great verses that encourage us to trust in the Lord, because he is everlasting strength. And that goes right along with what we've been singing here today. And we can be at peace because of the strength that God gives to us. I'll invite you to turn in your Bible back to the book of Joshua, if you were there a little bit ago, and we'll go there again. The path that lay ahead for Joshua as he was heading into the promised land along with God's chosen people was not one that was going to be easy. It was one that God had purposed in his heart for them, though. And it was something that would give to them ultimately joy and success in God's plan for them in the world. It was going to accomplish his purpose. We need to realize that in our lives, there are various things that we encounter that are not joyful, they're not pleasant, but they can be a part of God's plan. They may involve afflictions, may involve hurt, loss, and it may not even be something of our doing. We know that God just provided the circumstances for these to take place. But let's rest assured that God does have an ultimate plan. He does have an ultimate purpose. And ultimately, it is for our joy and for our trust and delight in him. We somehow sometimes get the idea that the only way I can delight in the Lord is if he just makes everything good and right. But that's not the way God operates. And our God is perfect. He is an all-wise God, and we must trust him. Now, in some ways, there is a measure of simplicity in the direction and plan that God has for his people. And part of that is because we see the bigger picture of what God did back in the days of Joshua with the nation of Israel in hindsight. And we look at that and we think, okay, why didn't these people just adhere to God's word? Why didn't they just surrender themselves? Why didn't they just abide by what the Lord said? And it looks a whole lot easier from our perspective sometimes than it did back in that time. We do realize that with the opposition of Satan in our life, with the world that opposes us, with our own flesh that opposes the ways of God, seeing God's purpose fulfilled is a more difficult task than it might first appear, especially when we are right in the middle of the battle. So what we are declaring here in these first verses of Joshua, as God is challenging Joshua to take the leadership now that Moses has passed off the scene, and he's telling Joshua, look, here are the things that I want you to have in mind. Here are the foundation principles for you to obtain the promises that I have for my people. We realize that once we are saved, God has a purpose and a plan for us. He wants us to be set apart unto himself, just as he did the nation of Israel. He wanted them and wants us to experience the power and the promises of the Lord. And for us, it is through Jesus Christ that we experience these things. And so there are great lessons that we can learn from Joshua, from how God works in the lives of his chosen people. We looked last week at the privilege of possession. The privilege that they had to be able to possess a land that God had promised to them. Now remember, They had spent the last 40 years in wilderness wandering. That wasn't a real privilege for them. It wasn't a delightful experience. They complained, they murmured, they cried out to God. They had many funerals because of people who died because of unbelief to the Lord and of his promises. And prior to that, they had been in Egypt. They had it pretty good for a while, but then Pharaoh began to afflict them and to oppress them, and they were literally treated as slaves. Never a good experience. But you know, it's interesting how sometimes our memory can be somewhat short-lived of the evil that's in our lives. And I think that was the case even with these people. They knew that God had promised something for them, but, well, maybe some of this stuff wasn't as bad compared to the obstacles that we're going to face in order to be able to get what God really wants us to have. You know, we can be guilty of the same thing. We can look back at our lives and think, you know, here's the Christian life, here's the walk with God, and there seems to be expectations that I don't know if I can meet those things, and after all, I'm going to have to do away with the things of my flesh and worldliness, and is this all worth it? I'm here to tell you today that it's all worth it. The blessings of God, even in the smallest portion, are far better and far outweigh the best that this world can offer. We may think that these things are so much better, but the things of God far outweigh the things of this world. So we need to, by faith, say, God, you have saved me. I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have turned my back on sin, and here is the path. Here's the road. Where do I go? What do I do? Well, we need to be obedient, and we see the possession that God has for us to walk in newness of life. But there's also the promise of protection as we do so, that God is going to be with us. The battle is the Lord's. And so we must lay hold and lay claim to then what we're going to talk about today is the provision of power that God offers to us. Thankfully, God, when he proposes the blessings that he has before us, he does not just leave us alone for us to fare for ourselves, but he gives to us what is necessary. Now, part of what he gives to us are going to be some instructions as to how we need to focus, where our mind needs to be. And we look at the New Testament, and several instances, the Apostle Paul addresses the importance of renewing our mind. One of the reasons for that is because in the old life, in the world, and in our flesh, We have a measure of thinking, and people all around us are thinking in a certain vein, in a certain way, as to how we can obtain happiness, how we can obtain joy. And some of it may be a little bit of what we find in the Bible, but most of it isn't. And we become accustomed to that thinking, and God says, you need to renew your mind. There are new things that you can have through the Lord Jesus Christ, and a new focus to be able to see what the Lord wants to give to you, to where you can have that perfect peace. And notice what those verses said. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We don't have a worldly mindedness. We don't have a selfish mindedness, but we have a God mindedness, renewing our mind. And that renewing of mind is not just a one-time event, but it's something that must be continually practiced. And that's why it's important we be in the Word, and we'll talk about that our mind is continued to be focused on the Lord. as we seek his plan and his promises. So this provision of power, God knows the potential weakness that Joshua has. And it's interesting how that he is telling him, I want you to have a purpose of heart, to be of good courage, to be strong and of a good courage. Joshua is called here to have boldness in the Lord. It's not just a self-acclaimed boldness, but it is confidence in what God is able to accomplish. Three times God encourages Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. That tells me a little bit that God knows that Joshua may have a propensity to be a little fearful. And we think of Joshua as being this mighty warrior. But the only strength and might that Joshua was able to display was because of what God gave to him. And that's the kind of people that we can be. He knows our weaknesses as well. And he tells us over and over, be strong and of good courage. I am your God. Joshua is not the only one who had weaknesses. God presents men and women not as superheroes of faith. They only appear to be superheroes of faith because they were surrendered to the plan and mind of God. And I don't think there's anyone in here who'd say, well, I want to be a superhero or a superheroine for God. But we'd just say, hey, I just want to know the mind of Christ. Even in that song that Neil played, may the mind of Christ be in us from hour to hour, from day to day, in everything that takes place in our life. We, just as they have this propensity of failure, God says, just be strong. So you failed. Be strong. Pick yourself up. Here we go. Here's a new day. Here's a new opportunity. Be strong. The word strong here is a word that means, among many things, to fasten upon something and to be steadfast. Courage means to be bold in what we do for the Lord. And God is compelling Joshua to willingly and purposely do his part in the exercise of victory. And he has to prepare his own heart and his own mind. He's not going to just sit back and say, well, let's just let God do whatever he's going to do. He says, Joshua, you need to have a single-mindedness and have a heart for me before I'm going to be able to accomplish these things that I am going to do. I think one of the things that we need to see here is that the focus of strength and courage was not necessarily even concerning the enemy, to where you look at the enemy and say, okay, I'm just going to be strong because I know that I am mightier than them. I'm going to have courage as I face them. But instead, just realizing that I am going to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to be courageous because I know that I name the name of God. I name the name of Jehovah. I name the name of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us as a sacrifice on the cross and was able to declare the victory over sin, the victory over my sin, as he paid that awful penalty on the cross. And my strength and my courage is not in what I muster up, but my strength and my courage is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, in the power of his might. We have courage because we serve a God who is almighty, who is all powerful. That's your God and my God. His courage and his confidence were going to sustain him, not just about the enemy, but even how he was going to proceed in confidence, how he was going to make a difference, how he could have his own well-being as a leader and provide confidence for the people so that they could be confident in the Lord as well. It's far too easy for all of us to doubt our own calling, to doubt how God can use us. There's often times when I think about my life, I think, Lord, I'm so frail. How could you use me? How can I go and pastor? How could I go and preach your word today? Because you know, I know my frailty far more than anybody else, and God knows it. And yet that just shows me how my strength is in the Lord. It's not in what I am. It's not in how I conduct myself. It's my mindset to say, Lord, I know that you are my strong tower. You are my defense. You are my rock. And as I seek to be faithful to you, in the measure of the abilities that you have given to me, no matter how large they may be, no matter how small they may be, if I go in your strength and your power, you're going to do a work through your word that is going to be far and above anything that I could ever imagine. And that's the way it needs to be for all of us. Whether we're dealing and ministering in our family, whether we're dealing with neighbors or at work or wherever we go in the strength and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your power, and we purpose in our heart that it is God who is going to do the work. Now that means that our focus needs to be not on what we can do, but how obedient and submissive I can be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Focusing on obedience and on ultimate victory, not on disobedience and defeat. The focus was to be on God and His plan, not even on the enemy itself. We look at the enemies of our flesh. We look at the enemies of this world. And that was part of the problem that those 10 spies had 40 years earlier that Joshua and Caleb did not have. They saw the strength of the enemy. Joshua and Caleb saw the strength of God. And that is imperative for our lives. If we're going to see personal victory over sin, over things that easily beset us, as described in Hebrews, that it's not the strength of the enemy that we have to overcome. It's the strength of God who can overcome any enemy of our flesh, any enemy of this world. Our God is far and above all. Nothing can be compared to Him. We can be full of God confidence, not self-confidence. So God is pledging Himself to Joshua. Notice what He says in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I'm sure Joshua heard that statement and thought, wow, that's a pretty large task that God promises. And Joshua, certainly knowing his own flesh, had to think, how can that be? I don't think I measure up at all, Lord, as to someone who could command that kind of attention, command that kind of fear. among people that I've never even met. That's God. God pledges himself for victory in your life and mine as well. He pledges himself through his son, Jesus Christ, who paid that penalty for your sin and for mine. It's a pledge of victory that we can be, as we are dead in him, we can be alive in him, risen with him, victorious in him. We have that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. That victory is not just heaven. That victory is now. It's through the power of God. And Joshua, just as you and I, has every reason to trust God for victory. We have reason to do so as well. It just involves a reliance on God's promise. Reliance on his, what he has said. This is what I will do for you. As he gives the foundational promise to Joshua. The second thing I want us to see is not just the purpose of heart, of the courage and the strength, but the pillar of help that God gives to Joshua and that he encourages him. It involves the commandments of the Lord. He says, in verse 7, be strong and courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So this is not just a matter of the fact that you need to have a mindset of courage and strength in me, but I want you to be attentive and obedient to the word of truth. Take great care to prioritize the truth of God. If we're going to see victory in our own lives, it's not going to be through self-help techniques. It's not going to be just because I'm going to turn over a new leaf on a certain day or at the beginning of a year and just say, this is going to be the year I'm going to have victory over this oppression, over this problem that I have struggled with for years. But it's as we focus upon the Word of God. Because God's Word has life-changing power. It's the power to create. God created the world by the Word of His power. He holds the world together by His Word. He saves us by the proclamation of his word as he reveals himself to us, has the power to save. And it is the pillar of success. We need to be committed to the word of God. I've appreciated Pastor Caleb's emphasis on Sunday nights of Bible delight. We need to be delighting ourselves in the Lord. We need to be delighting ourselves in the Word of God. It's an imperative. That's what he tells Joshua. He has this formula, as it were, for success. But it is each one of these things need to be a part of his life. And it involves a remembrance of God's preservation. Remember of what God has preserved. He's preserved his people. He's given his promises. He's given his laws. He said, you're not going to just have victory if you do it your own way. If you live your own way, pay attention to what I have commanded you. Now that involved quite a bit. When you look at the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, and we have things that are written in the book of Exodus and the Leviticus talking about all of the the feast days and the sacrifices, and God was very particular in these things. He says, Joshua, we're not just going to war here. We're going for obedience. And obedience must take place before victory comes. God's looking for obedience on the part of every single one of us. If we're going to see the Lord do anything of prosperity in our heart and our life, it's got to be through obedience. It has to be through attentiveness to His word. Joshua didn't only need to read God's word. Notice what he says here in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, it needs to be in his lips. It needs to be something that he would talk about. We've said this before, but the things we talk about are going to be the things that are of the greatest interest to us. Whether it's work or sports or weather or whatever, those things that we talk about are the things that we seem to have the most interest in. He says, have the word of God in your mouth. Be able to talk about it. That means we're going to need to spend time in the word. It needs to be something that is in our mind. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We need to be thinking about God's word. And I think it's interesting, Pastor Caleb mentioned this a number of weeks ago, when he's talking about meditation, and it was reiterated to us again this past week, that meditation involves speaking. I think it's good that we even sometimes read the Word of God out loud. That's one of the reasons why we like to do it here. We say a verse, and we may be doing more with scripture reading as we look ahead, and we want to make it a priority in our worship. It's something that we not just do on Sunday, but it's something that we do other days. Listening to the Word of God. Sometimes just even in our personal reading God's Word out loud wouldn't be a bad thing to do. And then talking to other people about a verse of scripture. You know, let me tell you about a verse of scripture. Maybe you were able to memorize it, maybe you didn't. You said, well, let me put it on a 3x5 card, or let me put it on my phone so that I can share it with someone. I would love for you to come up to me and say, hey, Pastor, let me share with you a verse that I read this last week. It was such a blessing to me. You know, that would bless my heart. You might have to pick me up off the ground in order to say, whoa, Pastor, what happened? I wanted you to hear this. And you don't even have to expound upon it. You don't have to tell me why it was a blessing. I'll know because it's God's word that it was a blessing. You know, that's not a hard thing to do. And don't just do it with me. Pastor Caleb, one another. That demonstrates the fact that the Word of God has a priority in our life. We're willing to talk about it. We've meditated on it. This was important to us. Now, don't come to church and think, oh, man, I got to find a verse. I want to share this with Pastor because he told us we need to do this. And on your way to church, you're looking something up. You're staying out in the car here and kind of thumbing through a little bit. Oh, this is a good one right here. No, let's do something that God has really spoken to our heart. And then there was an observing. He says, meditating therein day and night, verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You can't do something if you don't know it, if you haven't meditated on it. We are going to perform in a day the things that just come natural to us. The Word of God won't become natural to you unless you are meditating on it. So, we lay God's Word to our heart. We read it. We seek to know it. We talk about it. We live it. Proverbs 4:27 says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If these things are going to take place, the context of that verse there in Proverbs 4 is the importance of God's word. And so God is telling Joshua, look, if you're going to walk in the right way, you need to have the right mindset. And the right mindset will come from knowing my word. Just obeying. Now, this wasn't something where young Joshua was going to implement some kind of new and exciting things. Hey, we got some new warfare tactics. Now, God gave him some pretty interesting tactics when they got to Jericho. But notice, this was not Joshua's idea. This was God's idea. Joshua was just simply going to be obedient and follow the Lord. The truth is laid out. Jesus reminds us that our life sustenance is by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We don't live by bread alone. It's by the strength of God's word. And then lastly, I want us to see that the strength that God gives to us, the provision of power, involves a prosperity of hope. There is guaranteed care that God gives not only to Joshua, but even to those of us who will follow in these words. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And he says at the end of verse 8, there is a way of prosperity. Now, we're not talking about, oh boy, here we go. Pastor Scott is getting into prosperity theology here. No. Please don't think that. But what this is talking about is that God's word is so lived in a way that there is a guaranteed of God's care. You know, the greatest measure of prosperity that I can have is not driving a new car, having two or three homes, being able to take vacations once a month and stay in the most luxurious hotels, have a private jet, be able to fly me around down to Southland and back and out to the Philippines and back. That looks like prosperity, but that's a worldly prosperity. You will not find any of that in God's word. But the prosperity that we find is in the strength and the power of God. It's in the well done, thou good and faithful servant, that we would seek to hear one day when we pass through the gates of heaven. Satan has tried to find, as this world has. You remember even the devil challenged Eve with success in the Garden of Eden. If you will just eat of this one tree, you will know things and you will be successful and prosperous. That's essentially what he's saying. You want prosperity? Eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You'll be as gods. But what did obedience say? Obedience say, don't eat of it. Stay away from it. So we need to make sure that we understand the prosperity of God sometimes says, hey, it is not this way, but it will be my way. We live in the power of God's word. That's the place of wisdom. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24, when he gives the story of the rich man and the foolish man. And he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. We need to have the mindset that would say, I would rather be a wise person that is obedient to the Lord than have more money. I would rather be one who is obedient to the Word of God, the one with whom I will have to do, that I will answer to someday, rather than having success and prosperity that this world defines. What is going to be more important to us? God is not promising a life without problems. But what he does ensure is a life that is able to deal with the issues of the heart. And that God's word can take full advantage and help with his presence and with his promises. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Those are the blessed people. Those are the joyful people. Those are the happy ones. When our hope and our care are in the Lord, we have a far different perspective of life. We become a people that have a heavenly focus, that have a heavenly purpose, and heavenly desires. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read a passage of scripture as we come to a close here this morning. Romans chapter 8. Familiar verses for us. Verse 28 is where we'll start reading of Romans chapter 8. Paul is helping us to understand a perspective that we need to have in this world for victory. And he says in this familiar verse, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's God's work in us. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a glorious promise that is. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There's the prosperity that God desires to give to us. It's not in the things, but it's in the promises, and it's in the blessing. It's in the joys that Jesus Christ gives to us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Verse 33. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There are people who will question, why are you believing that? And they would charge us with wrong thinking. No, the right thinking is through Jesus Christ. He is the one who declares righteous. It's not this world. The condemnation that this world would try to put upon you and me because of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ is unfounded. It's worldly, it's devilish, and it's destructive. We trust in the Christ that died and makes intercession for us. And then, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In other words, we may see a lot of afflictions. We may see a lot of issues and things that happen in our lives. But notice what he says in verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This world says, you people don't have a chance. Why are you following such a religious thing. Why are you being so determined and dedicated to the word of God? You're like sheep that are going to slaughter. What is God's answer? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is the hope. That's the joy. We don't follow the world. We don't get swallowed up in its philosophy. We say, I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to be of good courage. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to follow his word. I'm going to be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. That's the encouragement as we go into this new year. Let's be more than conquerors. We look at things in our life. I'm going to conquer this. Let's first of all say, I'm going to be obedient to God. And I'm going to trust his word. I'm going to be a person of faith more so than I was last year. And then I want to see the victories that God is going to bring about in my life. Because I've just been obedient more so than I ever have before. And I will tell you that as God has a plan for all of us, he doesn't want us to be discouraged. He says, be not dismayed. He wants to have a resolution for the promises that he has given to us. Because he desires that we experience the victories of a godly, fruitful life. Fruitful in joy and peace and strength in him. Are you people that want that? Or a people that want that? I hope so. I believe you are. So let's make that our goal. That we trust the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless and use your word as we have sought to look and see the understanding that you give to Joshua as he's preparing to take a whole host of people into a land that has giants, has fortified cities, that by any calculations would be dead in the water, would not have any abilities, would not have any strength, would not have any measure of success compared to all of the peoples of Canaan. But they had something in their arsenal that if they would avail themselves to the mighty God of this universe, the God of heaven, the covenant God, there is nothing that would be impossible. And Lord, you proved that to be so. The only time they failed was because they relied on their own strength and they lived in disobedience. So Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would see that fruitfulness comes through obedience. Failure comes through disobedience. It's a life of faith. But Lord, that life of faith has been demonstrated over and over as we look at the word and even as we see the saints of God from the times of the Bible in our own lives. Your great faithfulness. So Lord, bless your word to our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.